All electric vehicles are still a small percentage of the cars and trucks on the road in America today, but lots of people are driving hybrids and possibly thinking about the jump to all electric. You know, when Ford starts making an electric F-150 truck that the transition is getting serious. Next week, September 25th to October 3rd, is National Drive Electric Week. Expect to see more EVs and people boosting them. The boosters include the Southern Oregon Hybrid and Electric Vehicle Association, which plans an event at the Rogue Valley Mall in Medford on Sunday. Two members of the group are with us today. Pete Jorgensen returns to the program. Hi, Pete.
How you doing, Jeff? I just one slight correction. Our event is actually on Saturday.
Saturday. I'm sorry. I'm not looking.
That's quite all right. That's quite all right.
All righty. Well, that helps. That's a good way to start. Jim Hartman is with us as well from the Southern Oregon Hybrid and Electric Vehicle Association. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Good to be here.
Good to have you both here. So, Pete, you've been into electric cars for some time, and even before mass production of them, haven't you?
Oh, I definitely have. Yeah. In fact, I remember being on your show to promote an event that was actually in key to the same thing, the Drive Electric Week, back in 2014. So, Yeah, we've been at this a while.
So when you did your own cars, though, did you do your own conversion?
I did, yes. I had actually done two different ones. One I did in 1998, and then the one that I had here in Ashland, I did in 2010, and that one was it was a lot of fun to drive around town. But now I've just I've converted to buying electric cars. They're a little quieter and nicer than old cars, like I did.
Talk about the conversions, though. I mean, 12 years apart between the 1998 and 2010 versions, and how different was the equipment available for you to be able to do that job?
Oh, it's much different, and I think that what you're seeing in the availability of commercial vehicles today is as a result of that. The original one I did was had a DC motor, direct current motor, with lead acid batteries, the same kind of batteries that you would have in your car to start it. And then the one I did in 2010 had an AC, alternating current motor, which is the same kind of power you have in your house, and lithium-ion batteries. And one of the huge advantages of that, the motor's more efficient, and it allows you to kind of recharge the battery as you coast after you've accelerated.
Jim Hartman, tell us about your experience with EVs and how long you've been in them and around them.
Okay, well, I've only owned an EV since 2019 when I bought a Leaf. So it'll almost be 2 years. I just love my Nissan Leaf Plus. It has a range of 225 miles. And when I bought it, I got like $12,500 worth of discounts, you know, on the price. So that was a great thing. But I have been teaching climate change units. I'm a retired high school teacher for like 30 years. So I'm very concerned about climate change. And this is a very important step that everyone can make if they're concerned about the smoky summers.
Are the students, over time, did they seem to get more engaged into the connection between things like electric cars and climate change?
I think so, yes. There's, you know, students definitely are, they're juggling many, many issues. So this is kind of one more thing I'm afraid to say, but young people are in touch with what's happening in the world, and they'd like to see adults step up and deal with it.
So to the cars themselves, and you mentioned you got into one just a couple of years ago, and and on 1 5-mile drive last week, I saw 6 Teslas. I mean, granted, that's just anecdotal, but they sure seem to be catching on.
Yeah, they are catching on. It's kind of incredible that Tesla, I think like 80% of the new cars bought in America are Teslas. But there's lots of other models that are really good. Like for me, I could have bought a Tesla, but it would have cost $10,000 more. And I'm totally delighted with my Leaf. The power when you drive an electric car kind of takes your breath away. You know, it's great acceleration, uphill, it doesn't really matter. And they hug the road, really fun to turn, great ride.
All right, talk about that, because I suspect maybe even you got into an electric car for the first time and wondered what the feel was going to be, just in terms of handling and power and all of that. And how did what you experienced differ from what you might have expected coming in?
Yeah. You know, I guess all I can say is when I first drove it, I just remember thinking, this is a miracle. I'm not using gasoline. I'm not sending any money to the oil companies, and somehow technology is making this thing go down the road. And the other thing that was kind of miraculous that I just couldn't believe is the regenerative braking. So when you brake, you're actually recharging your motor, and it makes the overall vehicle about 17% more efficient. So it's just like a technological breakthrough, really. To experience it, it's kind of like flying a spaceship in a way.
Right. Jim Hartman and Pete Jorgensen are our guests on the Jefferson Exchange from the Southern Oregon Hybrid and Electric Vehicle Association, talking about electric vehicles generally. Drive Electric Week coming up next week. You can join the conversation on the exchange. You may have some questions or some stories to share. Since the six Teslas I mentioned last week were all driving toward Ashland, there are a fair amount of them in the region. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I see that about 2% of vehicle sales are electric, and the sales seem to be growing faster in Europe and China. Pete Jorgensen, from your knowledge, does it seem like the limited range is the thing scaring the most people away?
You know, I think it is. And, you know, in general, range anxiety is the phrase that's used. Ah. It's the reason that people give for not wanting to have an EV. But, you know, the key to this is the fact that most people don't drive more than 30 miles a day, usually, you know, when they may want to go on a trip. But, and so this is what some of the plug-in hybrid electric vehicles that are available today really potentially give the advantage of a stepping stone for folks, because many of those will go more than 30 and over 40 in some cases miles a day, and then on electric only, and then go to gas. One just quick thing I'd like to mention too about the event this Saturday is the fact that we're actually partnering with another group called Green Cars, and they are bringing out three plug-in hybrids and five electric vehicles that they're going to give people test drives in. And actually, the first 50 test drivers get a $20 gift card. So it's an enticement to get people to look at the difference.
So as long as we're talking about the event, we're at the Rogue Valley Mall in Medford on Saturday.
It is in the southwest corner of the Rogue Valley Mall parking lot, which is right at the intersection of Riverside and McAndrews, which makes it highly visible. You have to, of course, go a little further to get into the lot, and there's a lot of parking adjacent to where we're going to be set up. But we're hoping that the increased visibility that we have this year will entice folks that didn't come to our past events to come and check it out this time.
All right. You mentioned the plug-in hybrids. So will they run all electric until the battery runs low enough that is the point at which they start to draw from the gas engine, or is the gas engine always part of the mix?
No, they will run electric only. Some of them are better than others in that, and I have to be honest and say that I'm not totally keyed to which ones. Some will, if you try to accelerate hard, the gas motor will start to add to it. Mm-hmm. But if you're driving, you know, from here to Medford and back or something like that, then that you can probably do that totally electrically. And that's a huge advantage. One of the big things that people don't think about is when you stop at a traffic light, which there's getting to be quite a few now, you're sitting and idling and spewing carbon dioxide into the air, carbon monoxide. And with an electric, when you stop at a traffic light, nothing's happening.
It's mighty quiet. I've noticed in a hybrid.
Yeah, totally quiet. And no power is being used. So it's a step. We need everybody to take the step that they can. You mentioned the smoke a little bit ago. I think the summer smoke is a big reminder that we all need to do what we can to shift our reliance on fossil fuels and start mitigating these climate change effects.
Pete Jorgensen and Jim Hartman are with the Southern Oregon Hybrid and Electric Vehicle Association. You can join the conversation on the exchange as we talk about EVs and their expansions. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Stephen in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. Morning. I was just calling. I had some questions. It's good to hear from Jim. I know he worked at the high school and did a lot of really great work. I'm just curious, what are we doing locally to get mass transit pushed towards the electric vehicles? We know a lot more people can fit in mass transit. A lot of people don't have access to the money to even buy a vehicle like that. So what are we doing with mass transit and then like getting free rides for people with RVTD if we are pushing to mass transit and making it so we're not reliant on cars and we're working towards a more pedestrian-focused world.
Okay, Stephen, thanks for that. Appreciate it. So Jim, why don't you take that up? I mean, does SOHIVA look at mass transportation in addition to cars and trucks?
You know, I'd say we're just starting to, but just a couple words on that is that we are hoping to electrify RVTD, but that might be a while, though. You know, they did invest a lot of money in natural gas buses, and so this would be a whole new technology for them. But I will say one of the amazing things about some of these buses is they can actually charge up without even hooking in. In other words, a bus can drive over a flat surface where there's like a battery under the road, and it can be charged directly without any wires. So that's pretty incredible.
Induction charging.
Yeah, you're right. And I hope it happens. But this is kind of in the meantime. We definitely want to get to that position. But in the meantime, anyone that has a car, your next car, if you're going to go that route and you can't do mass transit, then you need to think about a plug-in hybrid or electric. But definitely, mass transit is the way to go. But it's going to take a while.
Now, one of the things that Stephen mentioned was the cost of buying a car. You mentioned the discounts in buying your Leaf in 2019, Jim. So how much did you say that took off the price of the car?
$12,500.
Okay. Well, that's a bunch.
Yeah. And even like you can, there's some special deals for low income folks. Okay. Like you can buy a used electric vehicle that might cost like $7,000 from a dealer, and you can get $4,000 in discounts. There's $2,500 from the state of Oregon if you qualify as low income, like under $60,000 for a two-person household. Plus, you get, if you're in Ashland, you get an additional $1,500. So there are ways to do it. And then once you have an electric car, they're much cheaper to maintain, you know, overall over the life of the car, if you like. About $5,000 less to maintain because there's just fewer moving parts. And then fuel is much, much cheaper. Like when I charge up my car at home, it's like over two times cheaper. And basically, it'd be like, imagine gasoline was at like $1.65 a gallon. That's what I pay relatively to charge up my Leaf at home.
Well, we have an email from Kevin in Ashland who writes, I very much support the transition to electric cars. I do have a concern about the carbon emissions from the coal-fired Oregon power plant that provides the power to charge them. Actually, Boardman shut down. So there's not actually coal power generated in Oregon at this point. But Kevin goes on to say, I'm also concerned the added load on the grid will be used to justify a push toward nuclear power. So, Jim Hartman, what can you tell us about the concerns about people who think, well, wait a minute, what are we burning on the other end that's making the electricity?
Yeah, well, that one, actually, fortunately, the grid is getting much, much greener over time. Okay, I'm just kind of looking at some slides I put together for an OLLI class recently. Like, let's see, in 2014, the effective miles per gallon for an electric car in the Northwest was 75 miles per gallon. But it has increased from 75 miles per gallon to 102 miles per gallon in 2018. So the grid is getting greener and greener. So that is good news. In terms of how much extra power it's going to use, I wish I could tell you the answer. I'm thinking it's going to be between 10 and 20%, but I do need to crunch the numbers for that.
All right. Let's want to address one of the issues too, Pete Jorgensen. You were talking about the range anxiety, and talk about the ability to find chargers and how much that has changed in your experience.
It's an evolving thing, and I have to say I'm very optimistic that the recently passed bill that Senator Merkley was a big backer of this to try to expand the charging network. Of course, Tesla is most famous. They have the biggest and best maintained network. You can go virtually anywhere except into some very rural areas and find charging within the range of your car. But there are other private charging systems that are available out there, and people, there's a number of different ways that you can get involved with them. If you plug in and are not a member of their system, then you can call in and they'll begin charging your car and put the cost onto your credit card. Some of them even have a membership arrangement where you just tap your little key fob on the machine and it begins to charge your car that way. You know, there's no doubt that taking driving electric takes some additional planning, because of the range and the plugging in and not having a charger on every corner. But, you know, I always look at this as, life is changing, and, in our increasingly hot climate, we're going to have to make a lot bit more adjustments than, worrying about where we're going to plug in if we don't do something about climate change.
The plugging in now, so are the charging networks basically one for Tesla and then everything else for everything else?
Yeah, and again, this is, unfortunately, it's kind of an evolving system. Mm-hmm. There's a basic unit that virtually all electric cars will connect to that is a basic plug that will charge at a rate of around 10 or 15 miles per hour, or I should say up to that rate. Then there are fast charging units that are actually direct current that recharge your batteries directly, and those will charge at much higher rates in the 50 and 60 mile an hour range. Mm. Those are a little farther and fewer and farther between, but they are evolving. There are getting to be more of them all the time. And there are plenty of apps for your iPhone or websites that you can go and find maps of exactly where these charging stations are. So you can plan your trip around your charging if you have to.
All right. Noah writes an email to say, I own a Bolt and I had an incident when the car, I think he means overestimated the available range, and I had difficulty finding a charge point. I still love the car and never had range anxiety, but now I have charger anxiety.
Yeah, and that is an issue. Just an interesting aside on the range anxiety issue, that the AAA did a study of people who were worried about the range of their EVs, and once they had driven them, less than 1% wanted to go back to a gas vehicle. So a lot of it is anxiety before you try it. And that's why we encourage to have people come out and give a test drive.
All right. Is that part of what's going on at the Rogue Valley Mall on Saturday?
Yes. With the test drives? The Green Cars is bringing five electric vehicles of various types, mm-hmm. and three plug-in hybrids of various types. They wanted to bring more, but the popularity, as you pointed out a bit ago, is growing so rapidly. They have a hard time finding dealers with them actually on the lots.
Wow. Okay. So, what time, Pete? We're almost out of time. What time at the mall?
Yes, we're starting at 10 a.m. and we'll be there until 3. And we're going to have 18 cars from our group,
okay.
That is showing various types, and mm. all of us there to answer people's questions. That's
okay.
The main thing.
Southern Oregon Hybrid and Electric Vehicle Association at the Rogue Valley Mall, Saturday, 10 to 3, southwest corner. Pete Jorgensen and Jim Hartman from Sohiva, thank you so much for joining us.